Today I want to talk about the three biggest lies that we have to overcome. Now, lies are part of life. You know, we've all heard them, we've all told them, and they are an ongoing process. A lot of communication between human beings, person to person, and even an individual to him or herself are actually lies. Part of the problem with that is that success in life really involves us being aware. And if we're going to be aware, that is, if we can process environmental signals more accurately, we're going to be more successful. So awareness is a relative ability to process environmental signals or reality accurately. So if you think about that, you go, okay, that makes a little bit of sense to me. The inability to perceive reality is really a huge handicap. A huge handicap. If we see what is not true, or what we're looking at, we interpret it as being true, but it's not, that we're at a disadvantage. So something presented to us as true, but is false, is a lie. And believing lies, the ones we tell ourselves and the ones that other people have told us, is a handicap to our awareness, our success, our happiness. In my opinion, these are the three biggest lies that we have to overcome. I can't be, I can't do, and I can't have. There would be, if you were writing that, you might have a few dots after that. I can't be, dot, 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 can't do, dot, 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 can have, dot, dot, dot. Not only are these the biggest lies, they're the ones that have the greatest impact on our lives. What we want to achieve, what we want to accomplish, what we want to enjoy, what we want to experience, these have the biggest impact. Here's a huge problem with them. They are almost invisible and silent. So the damage that they can do to us, holding us back, preventing us from moving forward, blocking our path, and we are not sure of exactly what is happening. What is causing my ability to not be able to, or the reason I can't do this? And because it's not so obvious to us, we're at a loss. And basically what happens then is misemotion sets in. Anxiety, or if I wanted to start at the bottom of the list, shame, apathy, grief, fear, and then we move into craving, lust, anger. All of this stuff is like being triggered. We're not really sure what's holding us back. But I believe it to be these three lies. To simplify life to an extreme, let me say that we manage matter, energy, space and time, right? Just think, we manage solid stuff, we manage invisible stuff, thoughts, feelings, ideas, concepts, and the space around us, and time, the thing that most of us have 24 hours of every single day. But whenever we put our attention on being or doing or having anything in this range of matter, energy, space, and time, and a silent judgment is made, that judgment is, can I? Can I fill in the blank? Can I? It's all the time. It's a switch. It's a on-off. It's a yes-no. It's a checkpoint. And if the answer is, I can't, or I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough stuff, I don't have enough space, I don't have enough time, you can imagine we are disadvantaged. Because I've been thinking about, working about, writing about this idea for a little bit of time, it is now becoming more clear in my awareness. And just this morning, I had this conflict. I was looking at the, if you will, the switch. I can, I can't. I had plan to exercise, but all of a sudden, a thought, I can't. And then my mind provided a whole bunch of evidence for it. You know, I don't have enough time before church. You know, my muscles are sore from yesterday. You know, I don't have enough energy. You know, I got too many things to do, too much stuff to manage. And I realized what was happening. I realized that this trigger, this filter, this switch had been flipped. And because I realized it, I go, okay, and I went and exercised. When I started to look at this idea of not enough time, it was like, there was an anxiety that was due to a lack of trust. Could I get done what I needed to do in the available time before church? And the first inclination, the first advice I got from my mind was, no, I don't. But in fact, it was false. It was a lie. I had enough time. You have enough time. We have enough time. Here's what I believe to be the fourth biggest lie that we will want to overcome. Not enoughness. Capital N, O-T, capital E, enoughness. Not enoughness. Believing in scarcity, it is a lie. Now, this is not going to come as any surprise to women on this call, but my wife, Marianne, does about 99% of everything around our home, around our lives. She is absolutely amazing. So, in the morning, I have a few things that I do. I take Nikki outside. I exercise. Nikki accompanies me into the garage to do that, basically for a treat. I'm the one that's doing the exercise, but so she thinks exercise is the coolest thing going. I make coffee for Marianne and I, two different pots. I get water because I know later, right after I feed Nikki a banana, she's going to want to drink water, and likely Marianne will as well. So this morning I thought, I can't, manage all of that and get ready for church. But I knew again what was happening. It just happened, you know, not that many minutes earlier when I was considering exercising. When I put my attention on exercising, all of that I can't-ness came out. And now I had all this other stuff. You know, I wanted to make breakfast, or I wanted breakfast, but I didn't really want to make it. But, right, and it was, That belief in I can't, fill in the blank, was causing me static. And I wanted Marianne to do another 0.9%, so that would just, now she could do 99.9% of everything. But because I realized what was going on, and I could feel the reaction in myself emotionally, and also my self-talk, it was like, wow, wow. And so I did what I needed to do, and even made breakfast. So where did this consciousness form of I can't come from? First, let me tell you what I think a consciousness form is. I'm trying to understand it, obviously, from Christ Returns. And in the past, we've heard of thought forms and consciousness forms and various things. But this is what I get. That we've got millions of images, maybe many millions of images stored in our energy field. I kind of see that inventory invisibly around us within this field, within our bubble, which I've been talking about lately. No problem with that. However, a set of images that have been emotionalized, an image plus emotion, to me, is a consciousness form. When I write that phrase out, I put quotes, image plus signed cap emotion, and close quote signs. I think it is the emotional energy that brings the image to life. It makes, so now that consciousness form is like you and me. It's like, I want to grow. I want to draw more energy to me. I want to strengthen myself. I want to survive. It's like, ooh, just like any other living creation, that consciousness form wants to survive. And to me, when I wrote this out, I went, I think this makes a lot of sense, is that idea, image plus emotion are the parents of the consciousness form. Yeah, I can see the image being more male-oriented and the emotion being more female-oriented, and maybe those two energies combine to produce a child called the consciousness form. But let me go back to the question. Where did the consciousness form of I can't come from? Frankly, I think we all would have been infected with the consciousness form somewhere at the moment of conception up until we're about 6 or so years old. When I consider my own situation, I was the fifth child being born to a woman who already was overwhelmed by having 4 children and a husband. She was doing 99% of the stuff. And I can't. Not difficult for me to believe my mother would have thought, felt, spoken, and at times acted out, I can't, ... She was a full-time registered nurse, loved working. She was much better at working in that environment than she was at housekeeping or taking care of 4 or 5 or later on 6 and 7 children and a husband. That was not really what she was most interested in. She loved nursing, not wifing or parenting. So just think, how many times, and those on the call might be able to appreciate this, how many times could a pregnant woman say, I can't, and then emotionalize those images? It's pretty easy for me to imagine the abundance of scarcity. There's a phrase, abundance of scarcity, in my own family of origin. And the acceptance of this, I can't be, I can't do, and I can't have. I know what a mantra is, and you probably do as well. I was initiated into transcendental meditation in the early 70s when I lived in Panama, when I was in the Army. In TM, a mantra is a silent sound with no meaning. Last week, I'm standing in the water in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, water up to my chest, thinking, quietly looking around at the water, the sky, birds and things, people. And I heard another mantra. And it was, I can't. I went, whoa. I need to understand this. I wear sunglasses all year round. And certainly I would in a situation where the sun is really, really bright, like in St. Thomas or Naples, Florida. And it dawned on me as I was standing there in the water that I was actually observing the world through tinted lenses. And those lenses were tinted with the energy of I can't. If you don't think that complicates your life, consider this. Every time we want to manage a solid thing, right, matter, anytime we want to think and deal with thoughts, ideas, concepts, and consider them energy, right? Every time we want to manage space, stuff around us, or where we live, where we work, our energy field, this biofield around us, the bubble, or time, that 24 hours that we have every single day. I want to manage that, But the first self-protective input we get from ourselves is this lie. I can't. When that dawned on me when I was standing in the water, I went, yikes. Oh, wow. These three biggest lies are not accurate. They're not accurate. But you know what? They certainly interfere with us, and they can cause conflict with the part of us. There's some part of us that knows better, that knows the truth, that knows what we can do, what we can be, what we can have, and knows the truth about us that we can be, we can do, we can have. And you could put dot, dot, dots after each one of those and put pretty much anything in there. And I thought when I was there in the water, whoa, I can is a much better mantra than I can't. But it's not one that says well practiced. And that takes awareness now. Have you ever heard somebody say, or have you ever heard yourself say, I can't afford dot, dot, dot. Me too. Me too. And here's what I believe to be true from experience. We can afford anything we value enough. And we can't afford stuff that we don't value. Right. So really, if somebody were to drive up to your house and say, I have a car, I got to get rid of it, I can't stand it, there's some minor thing about it that is really, really annoying, I have to get rid of this. If you'll give me $5,000 for this $50,000 car, we got a deal. The person who minutes ago said, no, I don't have any money, I don't have any money. They go, hold on, I will get that money because they can afford that value. Ooh, I can see that. I think that's true. And this idea, this concept, I can't afford, to me, is just a variation of the I can't have. Yes, we can. We can. I had this kind of weird experience once. In September of 1992, I moved from Manhattan. I lived in New York City for 11 and a half years. And I moved to San Diego. Big difference. Big difference. So I was looking for a place to rent, me and my then wife. And I had budgeted about $1,500 a month, which was essentially what we were paying for our apartment in Manhattan. So I called a real estate agent, and he said, I just had a house come on the market today. They haven't been able to sell it. You'll be the first person that has ever rented it. You want to see it? I said, sure. What's the rent? $1,500 a month. I said, okay. Let's go take a look. So this was in La Costa, north of San Diego, in San Diego County, Carlsbad. We walk through the front door of this thing, beautiful circular driveway, and walk through, and the huge, huge picture windows on the other side of the room that we walked into, looking out over a valley. Believe it or not, the name of the valley was Carrillo Valley. Carrillo Valley. Remember Cisco Kid, Pancho and Cisco? Leo Carrillo owned all that property down in that valley when he was alive as the money that he made as a movie star. And it was still named after him. I'm looking at the houses and the down in the valley. I'm going, oh, my God. Beyond that was the Pacific Ocean that I could see clearly. And I could see the hot tub right in the foreground, right outside the windows. And the first wave that rushed over me, I can't afford this. I can't afford this. Even though I already knew, financially, I could afford it. And so I got this tremendous anxiety going through me, and it was too beautiful. I'm unfamiliar with this level of beauty in a home. I've never experienced it before. It was way beyond my expectations, and it made me very, very anxious. I don't know what I heard as we got the tour of the property. Only had a couple of bedrooms, but it was just my wife and I, so it was not a big deal. But it's like, wow. It took me about 15 minutes. I'm not sure I heard a single thing that the real estate agent said after that. Just, you know, my eyes were like, you know, sauces. About 15 minutes later, I think, I'm like, okay, we'll take it. That's how long it took for me to overcome this discrepancy in what I was capable of having and what was being presented to me right then. To me, that's another example of something I'm about to say. And I'll bet you will agree with this statement. When you and I look back over our lives, I bet we can find many, many forms of evidence that what Christ is talking about in letter one in the letters about the truth of existence, about what the divine is providing for us, has been active for us personally. Our growth, our nutrition and nourishment, our healing, our protection, our fulfillment of need, right? I needed a place to live. Our fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, law of cause and effect have constantly been assured. They have always been available. In a lot of cases, they've been delivered and we don't even recognize what is happening to us. We can be, do, and have whatever we are willing to invest our energy in, that is, focus our attention and intention, and vibrationally become equal to it, and allow the divine to provide exactly what divine consciousness is always seeking to provide to its creations. Here's a final thought. The I, first person pronoun, right? The I in I can, ... is the part of us that is directly and always connected to our source of being. It is the real us. And if I were describing that in terms of an ocean, for instance, I would say it is the awareness of the wave, that it is a wave. At the same time, it knows it is the ocean. And the recognition of this connectedness to the source of its being, our being, the source of everything, everything that we could possibly want to be or to do or to have, we are already in contact with. It is part of us. The I is not the ego version of I. So when I say I can, and you repeat that to yourself, I can, I'm not talking about the ego. The ego is a part of us. Obviously, it's absolutely essential to our existence as individuals, but it is predicated upon the idea that I'm just a little wave, I'm all by myself, I'm all alone. There's a huge amount of anxiety that goes along with that idea of I from an ego standpoint. It's almost as if we're trying to outrun our own shadow. I got to get more of this, and I got to get lettuce, I got to take this. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I have to fight for this, and I have to grab it, and you know, if I have to cheat to get it, I'll do it, and I have to protect whatever it is I acquire. That is exhausting. That is part of the lie. That is part of the lie. The ego is striving to overcome the anxiety related to our individuality. And frankly, when you think of it, anxiety is a symptom of the lie. And it's a symptom of a lower awareness of life itself. And if you and I can get to the place where we recognize that we're always, always, always in contact with the source of everything, it's like, I'm already in the superstore. So I don't have to scurry here and run there and climb that mountain, do this and do that in order to access it. We're already there. You and I want to overcome the lies. And when we do, we're going to experience a sense of peace, a sense of connectedness, a sense of belonging, a sense of joy that is going to go, wow, this is so fantastic. I have to help other people understand this reality. And we will be doing what Christ says in one of the other letters. When you have this experience that the lies are no longer true and only the truth is true, you are going to feel so good and you'll feel compelled to share this with other people. You will want them to have these same kind of experiences. The ego is not thinking like that, of course. The ego is like, what other people? Who cares? I'm just busy taking from them or protecting myself from them. That's all there is. But that's part of the lies. It's part of the lies. So if we can choose a new mantra, choose I can. And if you want to think in terms of you and divine consciousness as being separate, then why not try we can? Every time you're faced with something, we can. Personally, I want to know that there is no separation. When I say I am talking about me and divine consciousness. It expressing through me is me. When we can overcome these three biggest lies, we will be experiencing life in a different form, in a different vibration, with far greater joy. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.